And so again, as I shared with the children, today is the beginning of what we Christians celebrate called Holy Week. Today is Palm Sunday, when Jesus triumphantly entered Jerusalem before he would be crucified on Good Friday and then triumphantly rise from the dead 3 days later. And on the day Jesus triumphantly entered Jerusalem, he did so while riding on a donkey, and a crowd of people gathered to celebrate. And as the people celebrated, they shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." And this exclamation comes from Psalm 118. And I want us to take some time to work through Psalm 118 in light of Palm Sunday and kind of get what comes to their minds as they're shouting this. What is it in Psalm 118 that they're thinking of when they are shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord"? And so as we read through Psalm 118, we don't want to over-spiritualize a psalm. Sometimes we can take poetry and scripture verses and over-spiritualize them and kind of take them out of their historical context and say, "Oh, that's right for me. That's over-spiritualizing." So like enemy is like the devil and Satan, when in reality it could have been Assyria. But there is merit to taking the promises of God and applying them to the things that happen around us. So when we do see enemy, we do know that Satan is an enemy. We do know that cancer is an enemy and all of these things. But we don't want to jump there. We want to see the things of God in their historical context and what brought this poetry, this song, to the heart of the author. And so we will see the psalmist needing God's help and salvation in the midst of real war, real attack from neighboring nations. But from this, we also see God is able and does supply our need and save us in any circumstance and trial. And so the poetry is written in light of real circumstances and gives us hope in this future, in the day of our need. And so let's read Psalm 118. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord has helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them, and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." And so right off the bat in Psalm 118, the psalmist opens up with calling himself and God's people and those around him to give thanks to the Lord for his steadfast love. Remember, steadfast love is God's chesed, his faithful, enduring covenant love that he has for his people, that locks in his promises for his people. God's steadfast love remains throughout the generations and never fails. And so right off the bat, we see the roots of Palm Sunday, of Jesus coming triumphantly into Jerusalem, is God's steadfast love. And so this is the roots of Palm Sunday, God fulfilling his promises to his people to come and save them. And so the context of what the crowds shout at Jesus' triumphal entry is rooted in the steadfast love of God. This is what brings it about. Some unbelievers struggle with the fact that God sacrifices his son for sinful humanity. But if we understand the deep theology, God is offering himself through his son in the place of sinful humanity, for God and Jesus are one. If you have seen the Father, you have seen me, Jesus says. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus is God. But we can understand the struggle with offering someone up for something they did not do. But we must remember a few things. First, Jesus willingly entered Jerusalem. And Jesus entering Jerusalem is rooted in the steadfast love of the Lord for God's people. Jesus did this out of his love and the joy that was set before him, and he endured these things. And so Palm Sunday took place because God is faithful to his promise to save his people from their sin and from oppression. Yes, the crowd thought that Jesus was coming in to save them from Rome, but the reality is that God was bringing his son to overthrow people's biggest issue, which is sin. And so we must remember that while we are still sinners, Jesus died for us. In this we know that God loves us is because Jesus died for us. And so Jesus triumphantly enters Jerusalem to save his people, and he was the only one who could accomplish this task. And so we see in Palm Sunday God's continuing faithfulness to his promises. This is the God we serve and celebrate and trust each and every day. And so there are many in our world and church family that are going to work each and every day to help those who are sick. These healthcare workers and others are serving at great personal risk. Some may be doing it just because they need the paycheck, but most, and I would say most of them, are rising to the occasion because they see the need and they're willing to put their lives on the line for those they do not know personally. And this is the heart of God. This is where we can see God's common grace and God's grace through his people. The steadfast love of the Lord knows us and our deep sinfulness, yet he makes and fulfills his promises to triumphantly conquer them. And so we see a little bit in this in people's willingness in this life to lay down their lives to see others get well or to be safe in all of these areas. And so Palm Sunday is rooted in the steadfast love of the Lord as Jesus enters into Jerusalem in humility, riding on a donkey, not a prestigious steed. And as people shout in celebration, we see the extent God is willing to go and save his people from their sins. And so Jesus showed his God's steadfast love in willingly entering Jerusalem. And in entering Jerusalem, we are prepared to see and receive God's deliverance. And that's what we see in verses 5 through 21. I'm not going to read them all, but I want you to pepper your sight and read through Psalm 118, verses 5 through 21. The psalmist goes on this long praise of how God has saved him out of his distress. And we can see clearly God's deliverance that the psalmist received. He proclaims with the Lord that with the Lord he has no need to fear. With God on my side, I need not fear. And so we even see this in the New Testament when it says, He who is within me is greater than he who is in the world. And so there is power, there is peace, there is comfort when we are God's people. And again, what can man really do to us? You know, Jesus even says, do not fear man who can destroy your body, but fear God who can destroy both body and soul in hell. And so we do not need to ultimately fear in this life when we have Christ. And so this doesn't mean that war and sickness and death never come our way, but we need not fear them, for the Lord will provide in the midst of them and even beyond them. And so it is better to take refuge in God than in man. God has blessed us with common grace that has led many to many blessings that have come from humanity. But at the end of the day, the Lord numbers our days. Not a virus, not an antidote. The Lord numbers our days. He knows the hairs of our head. And so we may feel at lost and surrounded with nowhere to escape, but the Lord will have ultimate victory. For even though Jesus came in on Palm Sunday and celebrated a few, and people celebrated a few days, people will gather and yell, "Crucify him." But then all of that leads to the victory of Resurrection Sunday, of Easter. The trials of our lives may seem to swarm like bees, but God gives victory. And so the psalmist was in true need and was under attack, but the Lord saved him. The Lord was his strength, his song of confidence and celebration. And so it was not the nations or princes he looked to, but God, and God delivered. And that's a huge thing in the Old Testament, is when the kings were meant to lead the people in trusting God for their provision. Time and time again, the kings of Israel would make treaties to have other nations come and defend them against warring nations. But this psalmist is singing the praises because it was not another prince, another king, another nation that saved him, but it was the Lord, his God, who delivered him. And so God's people need not fear death, for God's hand is valiant, mighty, and victorious. God is powerful to save. Even if God has to discipline us, and you'll notice there's that little kind of in the middle that God has disciplined him severely but not given him over to death. You know, God is a good father. He's not going to just leave us to our own devices to wonder what it is to please him, but he is going to discipline us, but it's going to do it to bring life into our hearts, his life. And so the psalmist comes back to his city in the victory of salvation from God, and he gives thanks. And so on Palm Sunday, Jesus comes into the city of Jerusalem, and he will bring victory, even if it's in an unanticipated way. And most often, God responds and delivers us through ways we would not imagine, we would not think. And so Palm Sunday prepares us to see the victory of Jesus on the cross in the Passion and in the resurrection. And we see Jesus willingly walk the passion path to crucifixion and resurrection. And he did so not that we would just be prepared to receive the steadfast love of God, to see it, but to receive. Palm Sunday calls us to trust Jesus over the fear of affliction. For it is through affliction that we see the steadfast love of God. And so Jesus has dealt with sin, Satan, sickness, and death. Yes, we may succumb to viruses and diseases. We may be in car accidents, and many awful things may happen to us. But we know, because Jesus himself endured suffering, endured the cross, and rose again, that reality does not or should not hold us back. We can face today's very strange, never before seen circumstances and challenges with hope, because we have a Savior who is mighty and steadfast in his love for us. And we have to understand that the cross is the answer to COVID-19. That God is not absent, he does not know what it means to suffer, but that he endured the cross, and he knows what it means to suffer, he knows what it means to weep, he knows what it means to struggle through these things. And so that is how Jesus deals with evil. It is by suffering himself and showing the hope that lies beyond the suffering. And so trust him. Take your fear and offer it up to him. Ask him to save and protect you physically, spiritually, and according to his will. Pray that for other people. Ask him to provide in the midst of COVID-19, but also ask him to save you from the penalty of sin, which is your real enemy. And take time to lay down and repent of your sins. Ask for forgiveness. Follow Jesus with your whole life, even in the struggle with fear. We trust him because he is faithful to enter Jerusalem to bring us salvation. And this salvation is the Lord's doing. It does not come from us. It does not come from man. This was not a man-made scheme. Palm Sunday shows us that salvation is the Lord's doing. And so these last few verses are full of references to Jesus' fulfillment of God's promise, because God is the one who brings salvation. And as you're reading through, you're probably thinking, oh, I've heard that verse before, I've heard that verse before, I've heard that verse before. And these are some of the most popular verses that bring about songs and praises to Jesus. And so the psalmist is thought little of or dispensable in the sight of his enemies, but through the Lord's salvation, he has become the most important piece. He becomes the cornerstone. That which other nations tried to discard, God made the cornerstone. And this is applied to Jesus in the New Testament. Jesus is rejected by his people, but is being rejected and crucified. But in this, he is shown to be the cornerstone of God saving his people. So the stone, the builders rejected, Jesus who was rejected becomes the cornerstone of the gospel, the cornerstone of salvation of God's people. Without Jesus, the church does not stand. The world may reject Jesus, but we know he is the center of the gospel. And this is the plan of the Lord. God takes the lowly, the despised, the rejected, the runts, and he refutes the wisdom of man that builds up the beautiful, the strong, the rich, the powerful. God shows that salvation is his doing in choosing the lowly. And so this is what Palm Sunday is. It is God's doing in bringing salvation to his people. Again, the day is the Lord's. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. And so the psalmist leads God's people in crying out to God for salvation. Again, we cry out to God for salvation because he ultimately is the only one who can bring true and lasting salvation. And so when you read in these verses, in verse 25, this save us, that is the Hebrew word that sounds like the word in the Greek New Testament call, we say Hosanna. And so Hosanna means save us. Hosanna is a cry out to God for his salvation. So on Palm Sunday, the crowd is crying out to God to save us, save them through Jesus. And they believe that Jesus is the one to do it. For blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus came in the name of the Lord to save, even if it was in a way that they were not expecting. And so through Jesus on Palm Sunday, God has made his light shine upon Israel and all mankind. Jesus is the light that shines God's character and steadfast love to a hurting and dark world. And so it is through Jesus we are thankful to God and give him praise for the steadfast love endures forever. Again, notice the psalmist begins with the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever, and he ends with it. And that's what we call biblically an inclusio, where they kind of sandwich it together, include everything in the middle of. The point is the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. And so we see the steadfast love of the Lord, for he is the only one who can truly bring salvation to God's people. And he did so through Jesus Christ, and this is what we pause and reflect upon and celebrate on Palm Sunday as we begin Holy Week. And throughout this week, Holy Week looks different this year because of our separation physically. But we don't lose heart because we are together in Christ as we worship this week. Our God is full of steadfast love. We draw near to Him, and in doing so, we draw near to one another. Lay your burdens at His feet as the people laid their palm branches down before Jesus. He is the strength of our song, and so let us sing in joy, even if it is marked with mixed tears of sorrow, as we take this week to reflect and celebrate the crucifixion and resurrection of our Savior. And so be encouraged, church. It is through suffering that Jesus brought victory over sin, Satan, and death. And so we will conquer this through the power of Jesus Christ. For He is the strength of our song. He is our portion in this life. And so may we humble our hearts and cling to Him every step of the way. And so, Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You came triumphantly into Jerusalem. And we ask that You would strengthen us during these very insecure times. May our hope and our trust be in You. For in this week we see the steadfast love of God riding on a donkey, entering Jerusalem to the shouts of the people, and walking the path of suffering through the cross and into the victory of resurrection on our behalf. And we one day look forward to Your return when we will be reunited with Christ in new heavens, new earth, and new bodies, glorified bodies. And so, Lord, thank You for Your steadfast love. It does endure forever, and may its fruit be seen in our lives and our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.